Hello, Joey.
Hello, Mark.
How are ya?
I am good. We're on episode 52 today.
We are. And as our... let's do it again.
Yeah. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Joey.
Welcome to episode 52.
52, where we answer the age-old question. Should you
buy first or should you
sell first? Love it.
In sync.
We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about some of the places we ate at, including Belly Busters,
right?
Flying Squirrel Coffee, which I was definitely a flying squirrel after drinking that. Some news you can use. You can have some fizzy pops in the park.
Love it.
Something on carjackings and a scary tale from Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Of the fraud that exists.
Watch yourselves on Facebook.
Behind the screen.
Yeah.
New Netflix documentary.
Looking for the text to hit the...
Cha-cha-cha. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Toronto Livings Podcast, a conversation about all things Toronto with a focus on real estate, the culture, and of course, the food.
I'm Mark Savell.
And I'm Joey Virgilio.
And we're realtors with Sage Real Estate working together as a Toronto Livings team with a focus on helping you buy better, sell higher, and of course, having a little bit of fun along the way.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Joey.
Welcome to episode 52.
52.
52 is here.
We're going to be talking about...
Should you buy first or should you sell first?
The age-old question.
Yes.
We will put our big brains to the test and help you navigate that very complex question.
Yeah. All the things to consider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting into it.
Yeah, we are. We're going back to real estate educational.
Yeah.
Should we start with how was your week and where did you eat?
I would love that.
All right. Mark? How was your week? Where did you eat?
My week was good. I went to this thing called the Living Lux Show. Have you heard about it?
No.
Yeah, it was all over Instagram. I would call it a home show with a design element to it. But shout out to our wedding planner, Diana Pires.
Oh, she put it on?
Yeah, she put the production of it all together, and it was probably one of the best shows I've been to.
I see. Actually, now that you're saying it, I'm remembering your Instagram of like very, very high end. Everything looked...
It was crazy.
Yeah.
The second you walked in, you felt like you were going to a wedding, truly is what you felt like.
Yeah.
They had the, you know, South Beach music playing, greeted you. You go through this like grand entrance and then you walk into about 60,000 square foot showroom, and every vignette, every vendor was brought their A game.
Very cool.
There was like this crazy marble etched tub.
I think that's the one I saw, that marble tub looked insane.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
Everything was done just so spot on. We went there for the real estate day. They had a bunch of high-end realtors talking about the high-end market.
Yep.
But it was really cool to see it. Actually, it was presented by Jennair, the appliance company, and they had a really cool booth. So you know, you're walking through the booth, they give you Costco cookies.
I already love it. Yeah.
And they had their espresso machines going, so we had a coffee. And then they're like, would you like to come into our speakeasy? I'm like... Yeah.
Oh, right.
So you walk through the freezer doors.
Yeah.
And you go into the back end, and it's just like you're in this little room all blacked out and speakeasy, and they had the bartender there and fantastic cocktails.
I love that. I love speakeasies.
Oh, this next year, put it on your calendar, the Living Lux Show. You got to go.
All right.
Yeah. I'm taking you.
I'm so down to go.
Yeah. It was such a well done experience. The vendors, like I said, were top notch, and nobody was selling anything. It wasn't like I went to a home show a few months back.
Yeah.
I don't know. They had like 7 booths of zero gravity massage chairs. What is going on?
Taking a break. You got to take a break in between.
7 booths of it. Like, I don't know. It was quite weird experience. There wasn't much home show stuff there. This was definitely for like the elevated finishes. If someone who's looking to build a custom home, that's the place you need to
go. Very
to.
Cool.
Contempo Studios were there. They do a lot of the custom homes. We see a lot of the modern ones. They're the brains behind the designs of it. So definitely had the right audience and the right people there.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Cool event. Yeah.
What about you? What'd you get out to?
Well, we did some stuff this week.
We?
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. A little less on the fancy side, I'd say. But we ended up at Belly Busters.
We did.
We ended up at Belly Busters.
Yeah.
A new location.
Yeah. We were in Queen East, what do you call it? Riverdale, Leslieville area.
Yeah. Kind of on that line.
Yeah.
They have a, it was right on Queen Street.
It was. Yeah.
Queen East. Right on Queen East. And it was the new rendition of Belly Busters,
yeah.
I'll call it.
Yeah. The OG one is what, Young and Lawrence?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one to me is probably my favorite sub shop in the city.
Yeah, that's a go-to, 100%. So they've changed that one too.
You were saying they modernized it.
Yeah, they're franchising. They must be, there's a specific game plan.
Expansion, which kind of saddens me a bit.
You know what? I'm for it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I know the OG has a charm to it.
That shredded lettuce, the way they would shred that lettuce is just next level. But the one we had was equally as...
Bacon combo.
Yeah, bacon combo. And shout out to you for the clutch recommendation.
Which was?
Chipotle sauce.
Chipotle sauce adds so much to a sub.
Another level.
Yeah.
Just took it there.
Yeah, I totally... That's an absolute must. It's a mayo and chipotle sauce. Those are the two absolute musts on a sub.
I'm a heavy mayo guy.
Same here.
I love double the mayo.
Same here.
Yeah.
Oh, we have the same taste.
our palate is so refined. Yeah. Just slab lots of mayo.
Then also add chipotle sauce on top of that.
On top of that. Just to really clog those arteries. No, we got the bacon sub, was it?
Yeah, bacon combo.
Bacon combo, fantastic.
Such a good sub.
Oh, and the bread.
Okay, I don't know if they changed their bread recently or what had happened, but it was it was really fresh.
It was very soft.
It was soft.
Yeah, yeah. You weren't like having to chew through a leather layer of bread. It was like that nice, like with your hands, you could mold the bun to your liking and then just, at least that's how I experienced it. I don't know.
That sounds almost too soft to me, but.
No, because I formed it around the bacon because it had that nice hard bacon on top and there's just
it was
crunch.
You're making me really hungry right now.
We can go.
We are close to it.
Yeah. Two belly busters in a week. I'm down.
I'm so gay. I do that, usually in a sitting. But
That's a Joey snack, right?
Anyways, it was awesome. That was a very good sub.
Yeah.
Shout out Belly Busters. Good job on whatever you're doing.
On the expansion, yeah. It does taste very much like the OG one. I'm glad that they didn't mess with it too much.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. And we were out there because we were doing a coffee review.
Yeah, that's right. we were doing a coffee review and bumped into like...
A lot of people.
So many people in that one little stretch of time.
Are we famous?
We might be slowly. I think
we might be famous. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but I mean, people noticed us. They were your friends, but.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah.
So we went to Omnia Coffee Shop,
which
serves Fahrenheit beans in the Flying Squirrel Motorcycle Club house.
Yeah.
Did I get all that right? But your friends told us what to try. They said it's like the spot in the East End to go to. And sadly, we found out they're closing.
Yeah. That was our unfortunate news as we were walking in.
Yeah. But the Fahrenheit coffee beans you could get in other places.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They serve them throughout the city.
Very fruit forward coffee, I'd say.
Fruit forward.
The one I got.
Very good. Well, well put.
My tongue is getting, I've been hanging around you a little too much.
Yeah, I like that. Fruit forward. Wow. I'm gonna remind myself of that one. Yeah, what was cool about the spot is that they actually had three different grinders going, so you can get your choice of espresso, which I thought, I really wish more coffee shops adapt that type of mentality.
Yeah, actually, totally agree with that.
Yeah, because so you got the Colombian one, the Colombian branded one. I got Diablo.
You got El Diablo.
Which I felt like is Diablo a beast, a monster?
It's the devil.
It's the devil? I definitely felt like the devil yesterday. I was flying with energy from 11:30 till 6:30 p.m. Blur.
You're yeah.
Blur. Just like an octopus, like doing a million things at once. My arms were flying, but it lived up to its name.
Yeah.
It was a new age.
Yeah, there you go. Coffee. Yeah.
So it's that sharper, I like to call it hipster coffee, that sharper vibe to it, but cool shop and nothing but good vibes to them wherever they go next. Because the community definitely is going to miss it. Everyone we talked to was like,
everybody was like, it's sad that they're shutting. Everyone's getting their fix before it closes.
Which then we walked in.
Yeah.
So we saw your friends outside. We walked in the coffee shop and I thought we were getting busted by the cops. Our good friend Oliver Mako from Sage Real Estate, my Slovak brother,
that's right,
was in there having his coffee, just doing his thing. And he's like, hey guys. I was like, oh shit, they got us. Hands on my head.
Yeah, that was amazing. Actually, keep your eyes out because we got, there's a coffee review coming for you.
Yeah, check the gram, check YouTube. We're going to have a quick little on the spot interview with Oliver at his favorite coffee shop in the city.
He goes there every Friday.
He does. Yeah. Great guy.
Awesome. Yeah. Love
him. Yeah. For those who don't know, I'm half Slovak and Oliver is full Slovak.
Right.
And like the Slovak community is so small in Toronto and our grandparents actually went to the same church.
Oh, no way.
St. Cyril Methodius.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And fun fact about the church, it is the only church, well, it was the first church to sell to a condo developer.
It was the first one?
Yeah, in the Roman Catholic Diocese. It was a big deal. Like a church was selling, literally selling out to a developer. They converted the church, into two lofts.
No way.
Yeah, it's on Claremont. I'll take you one day.
Oh, that's so wicked.
It's my dream. I want to buy it. I want to buy it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the last sacrament there, the communion.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I'm a man of God. Yeah. Believe it or not.
Beautiful.
You also went to a cannoli place. Can you please?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I almost forgot about this. So Molly brought me back. So there's a place near Yonge and Eglinton that I've always gone to, and it's called Pascal Gourmet.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I never really, it was never something that I don't know. It was not something that I really went into, and I was like, it's okay. And she brought me home a cannoli from this place. And she was like, I'm not telling you where it's from. This was just a surprise. And I ate it. She's like, is it good? And I was like, yes, this is like probably one of the best cannolis I've had. Like, where did you get this from? Pascal Gourmet. See they that? Have a secret weapon. If you go into Pascal, it's got a red sign. It's worn out. It's been there for a long time.
Nice.
Get a cannoli from that place. Okay. It was really, really good. Shout out, Pascal Gourmet.
Was it like a chocolate chip one? Was it a pistachio?
No, it was just
that OG.
OG. Classic. Yeah. OG classic. And it was the filling that was
did it for you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take you to the Sicilian Sidewalk Cafe.
Okay.
Because that's my favorite cannoli spot in the city.
All right.
There's something in there.
Okay. All right.
It's next level. So we'll
very game for
we'll
that.
Taste it up. I'll do yours. You do mine, and we'll see which one.
We'll see which.
Yeah, yeah. We'll crown the cannoli champion of the city by the semi-famous podcast duo. Yeah. Love it, man. Awesome. All right, let's get into some news we can use because the hot weather is coming.
You know what we didn't do last time? Our transitions.
Oh yeah,
we went right over them
after 50. It was just like,
who needs them?
Transitions out the door. We'll get into it this week. Yeah. We'll do it. Oh, do you want to transition to news?
Well,
you
can, I'm thinking so.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
It just feels appropriate.
Okay.
News you can use.
Do-do-do.
See, it is down pat, though.
Yeah. The intention is there. Now I feel like I am in the proper mindset for this. All right, let's do it.
You want to kick it off?
No.
Okay. I have a weird one that I thought was worth bringing up.
Yeah.
Toronto, if you didn't know this, the city is now allowing for some fizzy pops to be allowed.
I love when politicians call alcohol pops, soda pop or soda fizzy pop, pops. Yeah.
But in public parks, you're allowed to have a drink in public parks.
Wow.
This is something that happened. This is new to since last year they tried it.
Yeah.
There was 27 locations that allowed it and they're trying to open up more. They want to make it a permanent thing.
Like... I've always drinking in parks. I didn't know it was illegal. Yeah. It's just, you clean up after yourself. You have your drink, you take it home. Like it's, I don't know.
There was a full like report that was done.
Yeah.
And to see, because it was supposed, there was rules to it.
Yeah.
And the rules are, obviously you have to be 19 plus.
Yeah.
You can't give it to a minor when you're in the park and you have to clean up after yourself. And this is my favorite rule is you need to be considerate.
Oh, Toronto.
Yeah.
Please be considerate.
Yeah. And they did a poll and they ranked being considerate as one of the things in the poll. Were people considerate was a question that they got asked.
Can we citizen arrest if people aren't considerate? Because I'm ready for that.
If we could, I feel like there would be a good amount of arrests.
Officer Mark and Joey on the scene will just like start citizening.
Pulling in with the hats, yep. Man.
Bring our badges out. Yeah. Wear our top hats. Bow ties and top hats. Someone causing a disturbance in our park. No, not that type of party, eh?
It's got so much of the jackass.
I know what you're referring to. No, we'll have clothes on. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're ready for it. I mean, like, it's not hard. Just don't be a dick, can I say it? Like, just be nice about it. Like, and that goes for anything. People pollute so much in the city. I always see people throwing stuff on the side. It really breaks my heart when I see it.
Yeah, well, like, we took the walk of over that bridge in the East End. That was probably the worst I've seen it.
Yeah, dog poop central.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, come on, man, clean up after yourself. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, I'm going to get into something a little bit more serious.
Let's hear it.
Carjackings.
Oh, man, this is a hot topic.
Hot topic.
And a hot problem.
Hot problem, and we might have a hot solution, although I don't really know how much is going to come of this. But on April 30th, so in this upcoming week, when council meets, Mike Cole and Francis Nunziata are going to recommend that the Premier of Ontario, that's Doug Ford, Fizzy Pop King,
yeah,
and the Provincial Minister of Transportation impose lifetime bans on the issuance of driver's license for anyone convicted of motor vehicle theft. So if you steal a car, you can never get your license. I like that.
I'm okay with that for sure.
Yeah. But like, are those people, do they even have a license?
That's also a good question.
I don't know.
You don't need one to get.
Like, I feel like a law-abiding citizen isn't like, today I'm going to go jack a car.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Maybe to that, we could also like really increase the insurance premium if you, it's got to be something more. Yeah.
Yeah. If you end up being, I mean, yeah, that's pretty brutal. I'm all for it.
I'm for it. Yeah. 100%. And this is the second one that I really like. They want the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin T.
Yeah.
To, ban all the exporting of automobiles out of the Canadian ports, such as Montreal and Vancouver, where most of our stolen cars are sitting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a friend with an Apple AirTag. He's like, I know where my car is. It's in Montreal.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
One of your friends got... Yeah. Okay.
Showed the cops, are like, out of our jurisdiction.
It's so brutal.
Like, we know where the cars are.
It's so brutal. Did you hear about the story about the guy? I think he was from Brampton.
No.
The guy that got his car stolen. And he drove and followed his car. He followed the AirTag. Mm. Showed up there and he was like, supposedly he was like, my car is in this. Can you please not ship it? Like, my stolen car is here. And they were like, sorry, man, you can't talk to us. You got to talk to, and they let it ship, and it ship off. Yeah.
Out to the ocean.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. There's gotta be something done. Like the rules really need to get stricter with this type of stuff. They need to come down incredibly hard, you know, issue. I don't know if more jail time makes sense, but
yeah.
I do feel that the police can only do so much. There needs to be some type of legislative change that could further deter it.
Right.
Or we're going to start citizen arresting people. Mark and Joey on the job.
We're in, man. We're going to be out there in the parks. Might as well
put in some overtime on the streets. Yeah. There's been 68 carjackings so far this year, 106% increase over the same time frame last year.
There's some incentive that took place over the last little bit.
12,200 vehicles were stolen last year. That's up from 9,800 in 2022.
That's pretty crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
Like, we joke about it, but we had quite a few carjackings in our building.
Yeah.
And like, the residents are like, well, do we literally step up and do something ourselves? Do we patrol ourselves? Because clearly, like, no one's scared.
Yeah.
And like, the cops, what do they say? Like, leave your car keys at the front.
That was the toughest news to hear.
To swallow.
Yeah. But leave your keys by the front door because they only want the car. You don't want to cause any more harm.
And I get that. I get the sentiment of what they're saying. Like, if they're breaking into your house, just give them the keys. Let them take the car. I'm all for that. If that ever happened to me, I'd be like, yeah, go for it, whatever.
Yeah.
But like,
it's not what you want to hear from the people that should be stopping this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what comes of it. But I'm sure that's going to make news this week. So I'm glad to
get it out there first.
Get ahead of it. Yeah. All right. Some cool stuff that happened this week. We sold the Cutie on Caledonia.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Busy. Yeah. It was busy.
You did a killer open house. You had like 20 plus people come through.
Yep.
That was really good. On offer night, we had five people come to the table. So 7 days on the market, five people to the table. We did get a number higher than what we accepted, but it was conditional. So again, pro tip, go in firm when you're doing these bidding wars, because that's what...
Do your due diligence before the offer date. Yep. Get it done beforehand.
And the agent that won came correct. They had everything ready to go. We sold it to another beautiful family, which just is the cherry on the cake of this one.
Hey, that's something to be said too. Again, if you're approaching a bidding war, those letters, those love letters,
yes,
they play a role.
They sent a letter, they sent a photo. The story just really captivated us. They also came with a really good number, yep, which helped, but the story just gave them that little push over the top.
Yeah. And they ended up coming in, at a technically lower price than what you could have.
Than the number one price. Yeah, yep. They were second highest, but the story worked and their offer was really concrete.
Yeah.
Can I just rant on Facebook for a quick second?
Oh yeah.
Dude, that place is scary as shit.
Yeah. The fraud is next level.
Oh my God. I'm not a big Facebooker. I've kind of tailed off. I'm kind of getting off all social media. I still am heavily addicted to Instagram, but like Twitter, I'm pretty much just over it.
Yeah.
Facebook, I've been over it for years, but I was forced back into it. Right when you think you're out, they pull you right back in because one of our listings is being frauded online.
Yeah, that's not fun.
A lady by the name of Kellyanne, who apparently lives in Calgary, although I don't think it might not even be a female.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on up there? She took the photos of our listing and she's putting it up for rent at a ridiculously, actually not super low price, but just low enough where you're like,
you might want to jump on.
Might want to check this out. I had 5 people go directly to the house saying,
so brutal,
we're here. And I tried to catfish Kellyanne. I was like texting her, get her information out of her. And then I think she caught on and just deleted the listing. But
brutal.
It's been 3 times and it's been canceled and put back up.
That's so brutal. Yeah, it's rough out there. If you're doing Facebook Marketplace searches, do not give any money to anybody.
Beautifully put.
Just don't.
It's a scam.
Yeah, you need to go. You need to meet them in person. And like, honestly, if you know any realtors, even if you don't want to work with them and you can get them to just like, okay, can you make sure that these are the owners of the property?
Yeah.
Please, please, please do it.
And I'll take it one step higher. Call Joey.
Yeah, or that. Yeah.
If you're a tenant looking for a place, our services don't cost you. It's going to be the landlord who's going to compensate us. So why not get someone out there who could vet and ensure, because everyone thinks it's the tenant pulling the scam.
Right.
But in Facebook, it's reversal world. It's the quote unquote landlords pulling the scam.
100%.
So working with a realtor who can vet who the owner is and confirm that you are in fact dealing with the real owner.
Yep.
Is going to save you a lot of money. Because all 5 of these people were like, we're prepared to send the deposit over.
Oh, so they hadn't sent it yet.
They hadn't sent it. They did their due diligence to go to the property. And then when they saw my for sale sign up, they're like,
"That's
what's
good.
Going on?"
Yeah.
And I felt for all of it. All such nice people just looking for a place to rent.
Of course, yeah.
And then getting completely taken advantage of.
Yeah, it's a dangerous world out there. It's you can always tell. There's a couple like telltale signs. If you see grammar that's incorrect,
yeah,
just start putting up your red flags right away. And obviously, if they're asking for anything up front and they're asking for you see anything, I've heard stories of people actually going to the property. So they know the place is for sale and they'll actually go and take the visit.
And meet them?
Yeah.
Mm.
Then they'll take the deposit and then they'll disappear.
Wow.
Yeah. So just be extremely, extremely cautious if you're looking on off-market properties.
Yeah. And if the price is too good to be true, you know, another red flag.
1,000,000%.
Probably something's not right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this property rents all day for 35 to 4K a month and she was promoting it at a $2,500. So right. Like right off the hop, it seems too good to be true. And then I was looking in that area and there are 5 other listings at least seemed very suspect.
Same thing.
Yeah. It wasn't Kellyanne from Calgary. Coming for you. But it was like of a similar nature of people doing really weird things.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, yeah. It's similar. And the psychology behind it is they're good at what they do.
Yeah.
The psychology behind it, so they make you feel like you're trying to scam them.
Yep.
To get the money out of you quicker. It's absolutely, just be cautious on it.
You're completely right. One of the potential tenants sent me the screenshots of the conversations and she was like pressuring them. Like, you're trying to take advantage of me.
Yep.
Are you trying to steal the key from my property? Why are you there? And I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know, right?
No, 1,000,000%.
And they preyed on all these people were, I would say like, I don't know if they were necessarily immigrants, but they were newcomers to Canada, you could tell.
Yeah.
And weren't really familiar with the system. And Facebook was the only place that they really
started.
Had
to, yeah, totally.
To go with. And the same property, another wild scam. I don't know if I shared this with you.
No.
When I went to go put the sign up, there was a guy standing in front of the sign. And I was like, oh, do you want to come check out the house? He didn't speak any English. Yeah. We had to use Google Translate. He was from Turkey. Someone from Facebook sent them there to quote out ripping up the entire front of the grass of the property. For what reason? I don't know. And I said, give me the guy's number. I called the guy on the spot who was scamming this poor man from Turkey. And I said, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't ever, like, he sent them to 3 other properties to do the same thing. So this poor kid's just looking for work.
That's so brutal.
Willing to rip up an entire front property.
Like, yeah, getting a quote off somebody that doesn't even...
Of a house that he doesn't have.
He doesn't even know nothing about.
Dude, it's wild, man. So like Facebook, like I would just exit out completely for trying to find a place. Call Joey. We'll help you out.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I'll help you.
Joey will help you out.
Did we talk about new listings coming up?
Yeah, we got another one coming off the heat of last week. We've got 93 buildings coming. That's why we've been in the East End so much.
Yep.
Really close to Greenwood Park, Belly Busters, and Flying Squirrel.
Yep.
The only 3 places you really need in your life.
Lambo's Deli, too.
Lambo's!
It's like right beside Lambo's.
Yeah. Well. Okay, next open house, I'm going to come meet you. We're going to do Lambo's after. Right. I've never been to Lambo's yet.
I haven't either, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try it out. See all what right. that bread's like.
Yeah.
but it's a great family home. It's a starter home, semi-detached. We're going to price it just under $1,000,000 with an offer date. It's upper Leslieville, Riverdale, kind of right in between the mix of that.
Yep.
Like I said, really close to Greenwood Park, which fun fact, the Maple Leafs, every couple of years they do their practices outdoor there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, it's an incredible park. They got a lot of activities going on there. So it's really close. And you're like literally like a 30-second walk to it. So we're hitting the market on Tuesday. Joey will be doing open house next week in his open house khakis.
Yeah, make sure I wear my dad pants.
Come see Joey in his dad pants. Not a sight you do not want to miss. Yeah. And excited for that property. So if you follow us on the gram and all those other fun places.
We'll be up there soon.
Even on Facebook.
Yeah.
Apparently when I post on Instagram, it goes right to Facebook.
There's a link. Yeah.
I didn't know that I'm doing that. Because my dad's a Facebooker. So he's like, you know, you post a lot on Facebook. I'm like, what? Found out I'm on Facebook. So yeah, that's happening. Alrighty.
Shall we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Meat and potatoes.
Ooh, let's get our forks and knives shined up and get into the meat. What's your favorite type of meat? Favorite type of steak?
Oh, favorite type of steak or meat?
Both.
Honestly, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, chicken. Please. Chicken.
Yeah. I'm a chicken. I chicken all day.
Dark or light?
Thighs? Chicken thighs? Was that dark? A mixture?
No, that's dark.
Okay.
It's not a mixture.
Anything, talking to a butcher here.
Yeah. Anything above the thigh is white. Anything below is dark.
Oh, good to know. Yeah. Dark all day.
Then. Dark. Yeah. I like dark too.
Yeah.
I surprisingly eat more chicken than I would admit to.
Surprisingly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when I think about it, I'm like, man, I eat a lot of chicken.
I would, it could be the meal for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with it.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Favorite cut of steak?
Cut? I don't know cuts very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Describe the steaks that you eat and I'll tell you the cut.
Rare? Can I say rare?
That does not help me at all determine what you like.
I know, Molly works at the keg. I should be better at this.
You probably like a strip loin, which is about yay big and that thick.
The bigger
no bone,
whatever the what's a big cut?
T-bone.
No bone. Yeah. Anything with a bone involved, I'm in.
You're in. So you probably like prime rib steaks. You probably like T-bones.
Prime rib, 100%.
Prime ribs are really good. Yeah. With the au jus sauce on top.
Au jus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Some mushrooms hidden underneath.
Yeah.
I love when the keg does that. Well, that was completely off topic, but.
Are we getting into it?
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. So we're going to talk about. Should you buy first or should you sell first?
No song?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing transitions.
Should we do like a, since we're on this whole citizen's arrest, should we do like a bad boy thing?
What
you gonna do? What you gonna do? Where we transition for you? Transition time, transition time. How's that?
That's perfect.
All right.
Yeah. That was perfectly done.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to get into it. The age old question of should you sell your place first or should you buy your place first? I'll start with this. In the last few years in the pandemic area, it was pretty easy to sell your property.
Yeah.
Within 7 days, you can almost guarantee a sale was taking place. And if it... Sorry, let me restart this.
Sure.
I'm going to just edit this part out. Okay, so let me start here. At the top of 2021, or top of 2020, when the pandemic hit, it was fairly obvious that you were going to sell your house in like 7 days.
Yeah.
So it was pretty easy to make the decision that I'm going to purchase first and then sell my property. The market's doing extremely well. I'm probably going to get what I'm looking for or more.
Yeah.
And I can make a pretty confident decision and then move forward from there. Until the turn hit and everything fell off a cliff.
Yeah. Middle of 2022 is when it got a little bit more dicey to predict what would happen.
Yeah, exactly. And there was, I'm sure, tons of people that got burnt in this purchase first and then sell after.
There was.
So what is happening right now and what we're going to talk about is just some considerations to make when you're going through it.
Because that truly is when I'm taking a listing, when I'm in a listing appointment, that is the number one thing that's asked. Like, or rather... It's funny. Sellers don't typically ask that. It's me bringing that question to light. Well, what do you want to do and what can we do?
Yeah.
Can we list first or do you buy first and then list?
Right.
So a lot of people aren't even thinking of what comes first.
And juggling that decision is like, it's really important because it can cost you a ton.
Yeah.
If the wrong decision is made.
And it's very individualized. There isn't one fit all answer, as we'll get into it, but, let's
get into it.
Yeah. Let's get into those potatoes.
Yeah. Okay. So the potatoes. So the first thing that I think is the first question or consideration I'll say is financial.
Yes.
Where I think the two easiest questions to ask is, do you need the money from this home in order to purchase the next? And if you don't need it, are you able to carry the two properties or do you want to carry those two properties if things don't go right?
Yeah. And I think the qualifying decision in that thought process is, do you have 20% on your next house?
Right.
Because if it's coming from your home, the answer is almost given to you. You do need to sell your place first then.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, I mean, like most cases are, that's the case, mm-hmm. is they're going to need the funds for it. And juggling that transition is kind of like, you know, there's opportunities for loans that you can get that kind of bridge you over. Mm-hmm. They're called bridge loans, mm-hmm. but they're costly.
And there's a lot of conditions that comes with it. You have to have a firm deal on your property before you can get that bridge loan.
Yeah.
So if you've determined you do need to sell first, I think the question is, okay, are you going to aggressively price your home? So you're going to price it on the lower end to get a quick sale, or are you reaching for the stars, trying to get as much out of this home to get you your next home?
Yeah.
Again, no wrong answer, but you have to look at that situation before you decide what it is you want to do. Because if you're going to price high and really try to get as much out of it, it might take you in this market 3 months to actually get that, right. if you get it at all.
Right. Yeah. And then that question is like, how long are you? So if you are willing to take that cost on, if it does come up to that position, then how long, like how much are you willing to pay and how long are you willing to pay it for before right. it really starts to burn?
Yeah. Carry two mortgages. How long do you want to carry? Well, technically, yeah, two mortgages, because you'd have the bridge on the purchase and then your existing mortgage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's potential solutions around it, but either way, it's going to cost.
It's going to cost. And there's not just the cost of carrying two mortgages. You're going to have to pay your land transfer tax on the new place, your right. lawyer fees, if you have to do any renovations. So it's not even just the bridge and the current. There's substantially, you know, another $50K that could easily be added to that.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. And you know, making that decision is what's going to determine your sale price on the next place. So, I mean, if you need it to close, then you also want to, it's probably a good idea to know how much you're going to get out of the house before it actually sells, instead yes. of being in a pinch where you're like, I need to sell now
yep.
because I can't carry this anymore. And then you're going to have to take a hit on the place you just purchased.
That's right.
On the place that you're selling in order to make it happen for the place you purchased.
Yeah. And this is where one of the strategies we implement is we will give you a very conservative worst case scenario. If you sell your house at this amount, what's the commission? What's the closing cost? What's everything at the end of it that you're left with?
Right.
So you've got a very clear idea of how much you're actually retaining from the sale to take to the next one.
Yep.
And if you don't pass that test, then we need to take a step back and either adjust the next place you buy or the timelines as to how we do all this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in a situation like that, I think we're leaning more to sell your place first.
Right. Yeah. If that's the consideration, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's much more safe and less, less terrifying yeah. and less stressful.
Yeah.
Market conditions.
Another very important factor.
That's probably the second most important factor.
Agreed.
It's important to know what you're trying to sell and how is that moving.
Yep.
If you're selling a condo, like right now, literally right now, condos are not moving as quick as freehold places.
Yep.
So what are you trying to sell and how long is it taking for that product to sell?
Yeah, let's play that out. So you've got a condo in a building where there's five other listings and you want to buy a semi-detached house, let's say. So you know semis are flying off the market because you listen to us every week and we tell you what's happening out there.
Yeah.
And you also know the condos are on the slower end. So now if you're trying to aim for the stars and price yours $50,000 more than the other five comps in your building, you're going to have a tough time successfully completing this transaction.
Yep.
And that's where looking at those conditions and having a realtor saying, well, the competition's quite high in this building. You might want to be a little bit more aggressive with your price to get out of this and get you into a semi sooner.
Right.
Doesn't mean that works for everyone, but that's one of the scenarios we'd be looking at to try and figure out.
Totally. But not only that, but you can also, the fact that you have that option is that you can play that card. You're not being pinched by a deadline that your sale is closing.
Right.
So you can make that decision to say, actually, I want to hold here for a second to see what happens.
Right.
I'm not in that much of a rush to move. You know, like if you are aiming for it, yeah, but at least you have the decision. You can make that educated decision without feeling stressed about it.
Yeah. I'll add a hybrid option to all this as well, because we're just doing this with the QD on Caledonia. We went through a similar situation. We weren't sure what to do first. Mm-hmm. So I laid out all the scenarios for them. And then I said, before we do anything, let's go out and see if your dream home exists out there in the budget you guys have. Mm-hmm. So we spent about 2-3 weeks just looking at properties, not even talking about the sale of their home. And when we determined that, yes, they would be able to sell this at their worst case number and move into something within their budget, then the process started.
Right.
Because it's important to note that it does take about at minimum 2 weeks to get your home show ready.
Yep.
It could take a couple months if you have a lot of stuff in there as well.
Yep.
So doing that allows you to see if your next home exists, as well as prepare your place in the interim. So once you've said, yeah, we can make the move, your house is also now ready to go. So you could
Do it both in tandem.
Yeah,
which is a great idea. That's a fantastic idea. There's also moving into this, which jumping ahead a little bit, but like that idea that you can, if you're doing this simultaneously, there's going to be a moment when you're probably going to have to make a decision. Am I going to buy first or am I going to sell first? Because you can do it both simultaneously, mm-hmm. but you might find that dream home before your place is selling, mm-hmm. or your place is selling and you haven't found your dream home mm-hmm. yet. Again, at least you have that concept of what is out there. Also, if my place is on the market, how good has traction been?
Right.
Has there been a lot of activity? Am I expecting something soon, or is it really slow? And this might be a longer wait than I'm thinking. Maybe I have to drop the price more than I expected.
Yeah.
Which in turn changes your purchase question.
Yep.
You can do it in tandem. I'd say I'll say this, in a very slow market, you can potentially do a condition to sell of your property.
You could.
It's not likely anything that's moving today, it's not likely a seller's agent's going to advise their client to say, hey,
accept this offer.
Yeah. We're going to just like put this on hold for 2 months.
Yeah. It's very rare that somebody would accept it. But again, going back to your point of looking at market conditions, if you are in one where it's super, super slow, try it.
Yeah.
It might be accepted.
It might be. Yeah. It might be a go.
Yeah.
And there's little things you can do within the condition as well. Like you can make, you can give the seller a little more leeway of if a better offer comes through, you have the opportunity to get bumped.
Yeah. So it's called an escape clause. We'd add in there saying that if someone does beat our offer, we have first right of refusal to match it. But if we don't, by all means, sell to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, especially in Toronto where we have a lot of aging population, you might get lucky where you have a seller who's going to a senior's home and they do have that flexibility of waiting a little bit longer. They may want to stay in their home a few extra months. So you could have a longer closing, which gives you enough time to sell your place.
Yeah.
But I think you hit it right on. Analyzing where the market's at is so important. And having the discussions well in advance if your plans are to make a move up buy is also very important.
Right.
Because you want to kind of get it within the window like we did. We started talking in, I believe, like February for the sale. And to time it for when the spring market's here. You can't start the conversation in the spring market.
Yeah.
You kind of miss the boat. So if you miss the spring market, you're planning for a fall market of September to November.
There's a runway. Yeah. Anything when it comes to purchasing or selling real estate, there's a runway that needs to be had. So like start the conversations early for sure.
Yeah. For market conditions, when you're analyzing that, you definitely want to have that opportunity to be in those windows where people are looking more. And I think this year, the spring market's been decent. It's been a pretty good, good go at it so far. Nothing gangbuster, but healthy, I would say. But I feel like the fall market is probably going to be even more competitive if the rates do come down a little bit.
Right. Because we haven't hit that yet.
Yeah.
That's still absolutely out there. So I guess the other thing I wanted to say was in a financial sense, I'll make this point too.
Yeah.
In a financial sense, if the market is slower and things are trending downwards, then there is, if you're thinking about it, you might be up ahead if it's trending downwards, because if you sell first, mm-hmm. because you're selling well as it's moving down, you're selling at the top and then buying later, which means technically speaking, you'd be buying at a cheaper price and selling at a higher price. So depending on which direction the market is moving and same thing in reverse.
Yeah.
If the market is trending upwards, one of the benefits of buying first is that you'll buy at a lower price before it and sell at a higher price if you sell afterwards.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stress. So I put it like this, if there's confusion, if we're making this super, super confusing for anybody, the way that I kind of simplified it is if you buy first or sell first, you're either taking a big risk on the financial front or you're taking a big risk on the lifestyle front.
Love it.
Those are the two, if you buy first, then you don't have to worry about maybe finding an interim place to live and moving twice. You're just a lot less headache is potentially happening when it comes to actually like living or living with family, whatever the case is.
Yep.
If you're selling first, then you're saving yourself on the financial front and all the stress that comes with that.
Yep.
You know where your price is at, you know the dates before.
Yep.
It's a lot safer in that sense.
9.9 times out of 10, I just advise, regardless of the market, sell first.
Yeah.
Sell first because we know, so let's go out and see if your dream home exists. That's always part of the process.
Yeah.
Sell first because then you have a very clear budget of what your next one would be. You're working with 100% real numbers. There is no surprises. You're not going to be pinched on your sale. You have the flexibility to really try to maximize that, get as much as you can out of that property, and then go nuts on the next one.
Yep.
The trade-off, like you said, is you might be homeless for a little bit. You might not have a place to live. You might have to rent. Thankfully, There's plenty of Airbnbs out there that you can temporarily book for, you know, 5 days to 5 months if you needed that gapper in between.
Yep.
But at least that type of scenario allows you to really take your time and find the right next place with the cash in your pocket. You know how much you've got. You've closed that chapter of your life and you can now clearly look for the next one. In any market, I just prefer selling first.
It makes sense. It's a lot safer of it. It's so much less of a risk.
Yep.
And again, you don't have to, you can negotiate better on the sale of your house.
Yep.
Because you're not in a pinch position, and you can, if you wanted to, and you're not that uncomfortable, you mm-hmm. can negotiate better on your sale.
For sure.
It does a better job in both respects.
And even if the market's hot, we're saying like, you kind of want to, you know, if the market's slow, you want to sell first, but even if the market's hot, you could then dictate some of the terms in your offers that you receive.
Right.
So if it's set up for a bidding war, your agent can specifically specify, we want a 90-day closing or 120-day closing. So you've got ample time to still be in your house and search for the new one.
Yep.
And then a hybrid option that I'll sometimes put in is, allows for a 90-day closing with the option to bump it up 30 days.
Yeah. There's been also in my past as well, there has been a sale that took place that was, it was a rent back.
Okay.
So sellers, the closing happened. They were able to put the money back in their pocket. And because the market was as hot as it was, they were able to negotiate a rent back.
To stay there for a few months.
They were able to stay extra if they needed to.
Yeah.
They didn't take it from what I remember now. But
Option was on the table.
The option was on the table. Yeah.
You got to be cautious with that. You just want to make sure the right insurance is in place. You want to definitely have a lawyer give you some consultation, because you don't want to create a tenancy agreement with the old sellers.
Well, this is where the trouble comes in, because that can become now this is becoming not looking like a primary residence, but a rental property.
Yeah.
And that changes your lending.
A whole lot of different elements are at play, but that could be a creative solution to some. It does work for certain people for sure.
Yeah. When the market is firing hot.
When the market's hot. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. In any type of scenario, I still often suggest we sell first.
And you know what? If you, for whoever you would have suggested that to during the pandemic, when the downturn happened, you would have probably saved a lot of people from
absolutely
from what was a nightmare.
Yeah. There was a couple clients that I think benefited from doing a longer closing and selling first. They sold at the top end of it, had some time to look, and then closed out on the new one. You can't time the market, but you try to control what you could control.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I often advise selling first, because then you know with certainty
where you're at.
Yeah.
You're not going to put anybody in a bad situation.
Yeah. And this doesn't happen often, but it's still a risk that you can mitigate, is if you've sold your place and you're buying another one and the sale doesn't happen, now it's a domino effect that could affect your next purchase.
Yep.
So by selling, closing, taking the money, you know, you're assured that that money's coming. It's yours. You're not worried about any domino effect of delayed in closings or buyers that back out and stuff like that.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think in summary, you probably most times than not, you want to definitely sell first before you buy.
Yep.
But if you're after a very specific property, or you're doing the open house circuit and you just see something that you love, your absolute dream home in your dream area, that would be one of those unique scenarios where it's like, okay, let me just buy this. I know I can close out on it. I have the funds available. But just be very cautious when you're doing something like that, because you are committing to quite a bit with the uncertainty of knowing if your place is going to sell or not.
100%. Yeah. Well put.
Yeah. And look, if this is all mumbo jumbo and a lot to take in, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
We're trying to really condense a long conversation into a short podcast, but we'll sit down with you. We'll work out all the scenarios. We'll show you what the numbers actually look like.
Yeah.
Because once you demystify the costs, I think the entire process just becomes easier to make a decision on.
A million percent. You might have much more cushion than you think you do. You might be able to do this a little easier than you think.
Yeah.
Everybody's individual situation is very different. Yeah. It really depends on a lot of factors.
Yeah. But planning is one thing that everybody should be doing.
Yeah.
Regardless of how much money you have or don't have. Have a good plan, write it all out, see what it looks like. That will be your guide to financial freedom. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. I think we covered quite a bit in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough. It's not a big topic, but just, you know, it's a question we're getting a lot in these hotter markets as the market starts to heat up again. And I think it's important to visit.
Yeah. And things that you might not have thought about in the process. So it's good to cover it.
Yeah. Any shout outs?
Shout out Bellies. Shout out Belly Busters.
Bellies. All the Bellies of the world. We love you, Bellies. Yeah. Belly Busters is what you're
belly
referring
busters.
To.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention this, but we're pulling a truck. We're pulling a truck.
That's right. Yeah.
Second Harvest, in support of Second Harvest, we're pulling a truck. We've got some donations coming in. We're going to have a link below. If you can give any amount, it'd be greatly appreciated.
100%.
I think it's every $25 we get donated can feed 75 people or create 75 meals, which is pretty spectacular.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I didn't know that about it. Actually, in fact, when I was putting together like a quick marketing thing on it, I think it's an initiative I want to support going forward. From every sale, we donate a little bit to that because...
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, food is everything. Yeah. As you can tell, we love food. We talk about it every week. But, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't fortunate enough to... food. I don't know. Like it's, I take it for granted for sure. And I think there's more people, what's the word? Not suffering. What's the word I'm trying to say
struggling?
Here? Struggling in the city than we physically see in our day-to-day lives. So I think, it's a great cause. May 15th, us and the Sage team are going to be pulling how much does this truck weigh?
Tons.
Multiple tons.
It's like 15,000 to 20,000 pounds is a truck. Oof. Something like that.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that heavy.
Something. What did you put on the Instagram?
Sure.
I looked it up afterwards to see if you were accurate.
Okay. Yeah, I took it right from the website. So my numbers are fact-based, but damn, I really got to start doing some push-ups.
Yeah.
I wear my khakis that day. No dad pants on that
dad
day.
Dad pants, man. Yeah. Bring them.
May 15th, if you want to come down to City Hall, we're going to be pulling this truck in support of Second Harvest. And if you can donate, it'd be great. We've had a lot of generous people out there. Renee, RE Creative, she gave us a really good donation. My wife, Adriana S., gave us a good donation. Yeah. A good friend, Christina, she listened to the podcast.
Dom V came in Papa, very, very clutch. Yeah.
Papa V gave a nice donation. Steve Yelenik, our good friend, a triplex man extraordinaire.
Yep.
He actually took me through one of his triplexes this week that he's converting.
Oh, nice.
Super generous of his time.
Yeah, very cool.
He gave me the rundown. So thank you, Steve. Always a big supporter of us. And Luca from Blind Hockey Canada.
Oh, nice.
He gave a donation and we will be having him on the show in upcoming weeks.
Love that.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I'm really excited to tell that story.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome.
All right.
All right.
Leave it there.
Yeah.
Episode
52.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Livings Real Estate Podcast. You could find more information on how we work over at TorontoLivingsWithAnS.com. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter to get price reports from over 150 different neighborhoods in the city each and every month.
If you got any value, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends. And if you made it this far, thanks for listening.